to the GBC Sermon Podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. This message from our Sunday church service is part of the resources we provide as we seek to see lives changed by Jesus. You could also listen to our Big Three podcast, a conversation that unpacks three big questions raised from sermons like this one. You can find more information about Gymea Baptist Church, as well as discipleship resources and an opportunity to join us in person or online on our website, gymeabaptist.org.au.
The Bible reading today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 20, reading verses 19 to 23. In the NIV, it's subtitled, Jesus Appears to His Disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
Thank you, Sue. And Renee and Jordy and Nick, thank you for leading us in May Mission Month. Hope you're excited about this. I mean, the project is, this is one we've been supporting for a number of years now, and the need just doesn't seem to be getting much less. And so there's a real opportunity for us to continue to be part of the solution to this, part of God's plans to restore and renew all things, including such a desperate situation like that. We are beginning, as Roxanne mentioned, a new series entitled The Enabling Presence with a really, really long subtitle. And essentially, this has come out of some of our work as a community of faith in our discernment process. So for some of you, you might remember that last year, we invited our congregations to be prayerful, and then out of that prayer to also make submissions of impressions and thoughts and prayers and scripture passages to a group of people that we appointed that we called the discernment group. They prayerfully sorted through and sifted through all of those submissions and identified a handful of key areas, which we then spent some time kind of delving into. One of those that became a strategic focus for us is something called spiritual journey, which, as you can imagine, carried all sorts of information and insights on our following Jesus and what that looks like for us as a community of faith. And within that, there was a great deal of interest and emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit. So much so that although there was no consensus, it wasn't like there was kind of one thing that we focused on, we thought it would be really appropriate for us as part of our kind of the first stages of our strategic priorities to do a preaching series on it. Not because that's going to kind of solve all of our problems or kind of fill in all the gaps of our understanding, but essentially as a way to begin the conversation about what it looks like for us to engage in the work of the Holy Spirit. Out of that, there came three objectives for these next 4 weeks. And the reason why we're encouraging people to, you know, if you're in a life group, to participate in the kind of the focused questions, if you listen to podcasts, to listen to the Big Three. If you're not around on a Sunday, either here on site or online, really encourage you to kind of catch up on the sermon if that's not your regular practice already. Because I do hope that these will become a little bit of a basis for our conversation about the Holy Spirit moving forward. And there are three outcomes. I'm not sure that I start many sermons with learning outcomes, but here they are, my attempt at some learning outcomes. I think there are three things that I would hope by the end of the month that we will have achieved. One is that we will have a better understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in the mission of the church. That we will have a much clearer understanding of what it is that the Holy Spirit is actually on about. Over the course of this series, we'll talk a little bit about what scholars refer to as the economic Trinity, the things that the Trinity does, what the Father does, and what the Son does, and what the Holy Spirit does. And while we're often pretty clear on what the Father does, and we're pretty clear on what Jesus does, we're often a little fuzzy on what the Holy Spirit does. And so I'm hoping that we'll have a better understanding from Scripture of what it is the Spirit does in the life of believers and in the life of the church as a whole. Out of that, I would hope that secondly, we will be able to be more intentional and on purpose in developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Once we have a better understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, the kinds of things that the Holy Spirit does, I would hope that it will be reflected, for instance, in our prayer life, that we might pray a little bit more intentionally to the Spirit to be involved in the sorts of things that the Spirit tends to be involved in. And as we develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit by being a little bit more specific and on purpose, I would hope that thirdly, we will learn to recognize the Spirit's voice, that we'll be more prepared and better equipped, a little bit more open to responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives, particularly in the mission that God has given to us through Jesus that is fulfilled in the Holy Spirit. So those are the three outcomes that I'm hopeful that we will begin to achieve over these next 4 weeks. And I want to begin really by focusing on the mission of the church, because that's where we find the work of the Spirit. Now, this is the kind of the place where we have, if we've talked about the Spirit with any kind of intentionality, this is where that's been. So if you're familiar with our purpose statement as a community of faith, it's this. We want to be a community of faith that courageously takes up the invitation of God the Father to participate in his grand plan of restoring and renewing all things in Christ Jesus through the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. Whether you've ever heard me say that before, it should sound vaguely familiar because I rabbit on about it quite a bit, right? That's why we're here. That's kind of what we're on about. We want to see lives changed by Jesus because we want people to recognize and know who he is, because that's the work of the Father. That's the will of the Father. That's his plan to bring everything and to make everything new in Christ Jesus. And we have been given that mission. And that's why I wanted to start with this text that if you've been around for any amount of time, you have heard me preach on. For some of you, this is probably, I don't know, sermon 6 or 7 on John 20, 19 to 23. It's a text that has become quite foundational for us, part of which, of course, is on the door, above the doors as you leave. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples, and not just his first disciples, but by extension to each of us. He is giving to us, giving to the church, a mission. And it's a pretty, well, big one and pretty clear one. As the Father sent me, so in the same way that the Father sent me to do the same sorts of things in the same kind of way, the same kind of pattern, as the Father sent me, I, Jesus says, am sending you. I'm sending you. Now, if we had the time, and if you want to take this time yourself, it's quite valuable to go through the Gospel of John and just pay attention to the places and times when Jesus speaks about his being sent and why he was sent. At the very outset of the Gospel of John, we learn that Jesus was the light of the world sent by the Father. We know that he was sent to give grace upon grace, a grace that is connected to but much greater than the grace given through Moses. So we know that it's an extension of the story that goes back to Moses, which itself extends the story that began with Abraham, which itself goes all the way back to the act of creation. Jesus has been sent by God to fulfill all that the Father wishes to achieve. And what is that? It's the restoration and renewal of all things. Jesus has come to do the work of the Father and to speak the things that the Father has said to him and to only teach what the Father has taught him to say. This is the mission that is then given to us. And that is really important for us. It's really important that we recognize the mission that we have been given. And it's important in relationship to the work of the Holy Spirit for a couple of reasons. First of all, if we have been given the same task that Jesus has been given, I reckon we could use some help, right? I mean, Jesus himself, when he began his ministry, according to John the Baptist, when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him and remained upon him. If even Jesus, the Son of God, needed the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit, how much more so you and I, right? It's to some degree as simple as that. And importantly, we should note that the Holy Spirit's sending is in relationship to the mission. Those two things are intimately connected. So here in this passage, when Jesus sends them, he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The very next thing he says is receive the Holy Spirit. This is made explicit in the same way in the book of Luke and his follow-up text in the book of Acts, where Jesus tells his disciples after he has been raised from the dead that they are to remain in Jerusalem until they are clothed with power from on high. And once they are clothed with power from on high, then they will be my witnesses, he says. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The mission that Jesus gives to the church is intimately connected with the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. Here's a foreshadowing. I'm really enjoying foreshadowing what's coming up in the weeks to come, right? Next week, we're going to do some biblical theology. How's that for an enticing thing, right? We're going to try to have a look at basically how the Holy Spirit is introduced to us throughout the scriptures. We're going to try to pay attention to the themes that we find as the Holy Spirit is introduced to us a little bit more slowly than the work of the Father or the work of the Son, right? God the Father, he kind of shows up pretty early in the piece. We got a pretty long runway to understand the work of the Father. Jesus kind of bursts onto the scene, although with plenty of foreshadowing along the way into the Gospels. But it's not until we get to the end of Jesus's ministry that we are fully introduced to the Holy Spirit. So we want to engage a little bit in what the Holy Spirit does. But here's the hint. Essentially, the Holy Spirit has always been involved in the completion and fulfillment of the Father's work on earth through his people. That is the consistent pattern. The Holy Spirit does what God wants done on earth often through God's people. We're going to have a look at that. But the other thing to note about the mission, which I think is equally important for us, is that the mission is ultimately not what we're doing right now. This is not the mission of the church. There's a reason why we've written, as the Father sent me, I am sending you, as you leave, not as you come in. Right? The mission is out there. This, as you've heard me talk about it before, is kind of half time, right? An important part of what we do, I mean, there's a reason why Christians have gathered together for 2,000 years, right? There's a reason why we do this. And there is an element, there is a sense that what we do as a community of faith does serve as a witness to our community. Just this morning, my office is kind of up there, and I have a view of the street out there, kind of through the trees. And as I was rehearsing for this morning, as I was kind of working through what I was saying, I was walking back and forth and looked out the window, and there were some walkers. There's a small group of walkers, I don't know, six or seven of them, walking down the middle of the road, because it was early enough to walk down the middle of the road. And a few of them, as they walked past, just kind of cast a glance at the church. I have no idea what they were thinking, but I would have loved to know, right? Well, what were they thinking as they walked past this building? And to some degree, the building, and more importantly, the people within it, as we gather together, as we seek to serve our community of faith, and the things that we do, to some degree, that's a witness, isn't it? But that's not all we're called to. Jesus does not say, as you are gathered here, go and gather elsewhere. They were huddled in fear of the Jews, first of all. They weren't doing any witnessing. They weren't getting out there. They weren't talking about what Jesus had done or what they had seen or what they had experienced. This is halftime, right? An important part of what we do. You make really important adjustments at halftime. Games can be won or lost after halftime. We encourage one another one here. But if we confuse this, what we're doing now, with the mission, we actually end up reducing the work of the Holy Spirit. We end up reducing the work of the Holy Spirit to very important things about bringing new life in me and in you, and in bringing us into conformity and alignment, making us more and more like Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We understand that the Holy Spirit is at work in our relationships with one another as he seeks to build up the church. But if we confuse this with the mission, then we forget one of the most important places where we really need the Spirit's work, which is with our families and our neighbors and our colleagues, and right? To be engaged in the ministry of reconciliation and restoration wherever we might encounter it. This, I believe, is what's so critical for us as a community of faith. To understand and appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit in the renewal and restoration of all things, and to learn to recognize the Spirit's voice. Earlier this year, we sent out a bit of a survey, a discipleship survey. About 80 people filled it in, so thank you if you're one of those who like doing surveys and did that for us. It was just basically to ask a handful of questions about what it means for you and for us to follow Jesus and how we might do that as a community of faith. And the last question that we asked in the survey was basically, do you have any questions about the Holy Spirit that we can use in this series? And far and away, the question that was asked most frequently was, how do I recognize the voice of the Spirit? By far and away. That was the question. How do I recognize the voice of the Spirit? How do I know that it's the prompting of the Holy Spirit and not just something I ate, right? Like, how do I know that the Spirit is inviting me into a particular situation? How do I know? How do I recognize? And I believe that recognition of the Holy Spirit nearly always comes back to our familiarity with the Holy Spirit. I want to give you an invitation. As we wrap up here and move into communion, an application that I want to take a little bit of time to unpack for us, because I think one of the outcomes that I would hope to achieve in this is this idea of being a little bit more intentional and on purpose in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and one of the ways that can be reflected is in how we pray. Now, without getting into really deep theological waters, we believe in the Trinity, right? One God in three persons. I'll just leave it there. It's a mystery, right? I think we all got questions. And so technically, I suppose, any prayer that we pray to God in general, shall we say, goes to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But there is some benefit from time to time in, shall I say, praying a little bit more specifically. I mentioned the idea of the economic Trinity, which is how scholars talk about the work of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in terms of the things that they do, right? So the Father sends the Son, right? It's the Father's will that the Son seeks to accomplish. And so to some degree, if I can put it this way, there is some value in us praying to God the Father that his will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray, right? Then when we're talking about the work of the Son in salvation, in freedom, and in rescue, it is appropriate to give thanks to the Son, to give thanks to Jesus for the work that he has done on behalf of the Father. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, how do we pray? And I don't know about you, but if I reflect on my own typical patterns of prayer, I don't spend too much time thinking about which person of the Trinity I'm going to pray to. I might start with our Father who art in heaven. I might start with, dear Lord Jesus. How often do I begin my prayers with Holy Spirit? And if I'm honest, it's not all that frequently. And often, the titles that I use are, they're not particularly intentional. I wouldn't want to say that they're throwaway titles, but you follow me on this one? I don't put a great deal of thought into it. Every so often I do, and it's very beneficial. to think about the titles that have been given to God in Scripture. And when we pray for Lebanon, to pray for the God who provides, as Nick led us in, right? The God of provision, because that's who God is. It's an appropriate way to address the Father. So can I invite you, this week in particular, to consider how you might more specifically and intentionally pray to the Holy Spirit? And I've given you some clues about when you might do that, right? Because the Holy Spirit is involved in the completion and the fulfillment of the work of the Son who has been sent by the Father. So when you have an opportunity to be engaged in the mission of God, a prayer to the Holy Spirit would be particularly beneficial. Now, keep in mind, if you forget and just pray to God, like it'll all work out, right? They don't have separate email accounts, right? Like you follow me on this one? But there is benefit in being specific. There's benefit in being intentional because it helps develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons why we can speak so strongly and so passionately about our relationship with Jesus is because the work of Jesus is all about our relationship with Him and with God, right? There's forgiveness, which is this deep need within us. There's this sense of security, a deep need within us. There's a peace, a deep need within us. There's a real relational component that kind of fits nicely. How do we pray to the Holy Spirit? Well, we pray to the Holy Spirit when we are asking for Him to complete His work in us. After you have given thanks for forgiveness, it is appropriate to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to conform you to the likeness of Jesus, because that's the work of the Spirit. And now you are speaking a little bit more specifically to the Holy Spirit, beginning to look for His work in your life, which will develop a sense of relationship. And when you have a relationship with someone, you can begin to recognize their voice. When I began ministry in Canada, I was doing some youth ministry, we had a set of twins. We actually had a couple of sets of twins, but there was one set of twins who, I tell you, I first saw them, I was like, there is no possible way in heaven or on earth that anyone can tell you apart. Like you are identical, identical, identical. By the end of the 4 years that I was there in ministry, I could pick the difference on the phone. What was that all about? Familiarity. I'd spent enough time with them when I could pick them apart by sight, but I could hear the difference in their voice. I'd spent enough time with them that they'd picked up the phone, I could say, oh, I know who I am speaking to. I don't need to ask. Familiarity based on relationship. Is it going to be any different with the Holy Spirit? So there's your invitation this week to be a little bit more specific, a little bit more intentional, a little bit more on purpose in your prayers to the Holy Spirit. So parents, just before you go in to say goodnight to your kids, to maybe read a scripture story or to pray with them, why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you? They are your mission field, are they not? They're the non-Christians in your life, despite the fact that they come to church every single week. Right? They have yet to make that commitment. They have yet to make that confession. And you have been placed in their lives to show them. Pray to the Holy Spirit that He'll guide you in that. When you look at your own life and see the gap between you and Jesus, pray to the Holy Spirit, because that's the space where the Holy Spirit is at work. When you are about to leave the house and you know that there may very well be an opportunity today, because there so often is an opportunity to have a conversation or to be an example of Jesus, to be a witness to Him, pray to the Holy Spirit. Pray that the Spirit might grant to you a sensitivity of heart and of mind, that the Spirit might open your eyes and give you the words to say or the action to perform in such a way that they might be pointed to Jesus, so that in Jesus they might find forgiveness. There's your invitation, a first step for us as a community of faith. as we begin to explore what it looks like for us to understand the person and work of the Holy Spirit, to understand then and how we can be more intentional about developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit in order that we might recognize the Spirit's voice. Because as the Spirit has been given to us to continue the work of Jesus in my life as an individual, in our life as a community of faith, and in our mission when we leave this building. So we're going to take some time to celebrate communion. And I would like to pray in a pattern that might be Trinitarian. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit might apply these very simple elements, which if this is halftime should really be bread and an orange slice, but we'll settle with juice because that's traditional, to apply the truth of this to our lives because that's the work of the Spirit. We want to give thanks to Jesus for his sacrifice and for his forgiveness, which has been won for us. And we want to thank God for sending Jesus in the first place. So I'm going to take a moment to pray for us, and then I'll explain how we're going to do communion, and we'll move on in our service. So would you please join me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here this morning. We thank you that you have created this day again, anew and afresh. We thank you that your faithfulness is new to us every morning. We thank you for your great love for us that not only is committed to the restoration and renewal of all things, but in which you have sent your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you perfectly completed the will of the Father, that you only did what the Father told you to do, that you only said what the Father had given you to say, and that you went to the death that the Father had decreed in order that we might be restored and renewed. Holy Spirit, we ask that as we partake today in remembering what Jesus did, as we take these little pieces of bread and little cups of juice, that they might be for us spiritual food and drink, that we might be reminded of the Father's great love, of the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and of the promise that has included sending the Holy Spirit to enable us to be part of the mission of Jesus himself. We ask that you would bless this time together. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this message has challenged and strengthened you, encouraged you to pray and rely on God, and blessed you today. If you'd like to get to know some of our church community, you can listen to the We Are the Church podcast, an open conversation with real people who call GBC home as they share stories of God at work in their lives and how their lives are being changed by Jesus.